ham. That song, but I forgot it was the long play version. We would have been here for like 3 minutes and 23 seconds, so I was scrambling desperately. So everybody, welcome to Drive Through HR, the height of perfectionism, I might add. So William Tincup, Brian Wimpen, coming to you live every day, talking with HR professionals and the HR community about, shocking, HR. So William, what's up, my friend?
Brother, it is a Monday. I'm filled with hope and optimism that we have no mistakes this week. None.
Sweet. I like that. That's a goal. That might even be an objective.
Oh, by the way, don't forget Valentine's Day is Thursday. Stuff like
that. Hey, that's a big... We got some stuff going on, you know. On that day, we'll get there.
Yeah, love is in the air. Yeah.
It is. It's on the ground. It's in the air. It just drove by. Look at that. So, anyway, we got to get to our guest. She used one of my favorite words in pre-show, and it wasn't that one word. It was the other word from my econ background that I just am like, oh, my heart fluttered a little bit, kind of crushed a little bit. I love the word. So. We got to use it again. I'm so excited. So, Teresa Chambers, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Delighted to be here on a Monday morning for me.
Glad to have you. Thanks for joining us for lunch. So, if you would, we'll kick it off. No mistakes, right, William? That's the objective. It's not really a goal. Goals kind of make me I get a little weird about that, kind of angry. But objectives, I like those. I'm very fond of that. It's just my baggage there. So we're going to kick it off right. Perfect, even. Could you introduce yourself, and then we'll roll into what's top of mind?
Oh, I'd be happy to. I am the Chief Motivation Officer of Recognition Works. And on my way into the office, I decided I'm changing my tagline from changing the way people think about employee recognition to expanding the way people think about employee recognition in organizations.
But why the change-ish?
Well, because I don't want to run around feel like I have to change the way everybody thinks. What I want to do is expand the way they think and introduce some new concepts. You know, for example, shifting from a scarcity-based model, which is employee of the month, employee of the quarter, to more of an abundance-based mentality around appreciation. For example, if you substituted the word appreciation for recognition in all of your conversations about employee recognition, how that would expand the opportunities to make someone's day.
That is, and that's one of those, you know, one of those little things that use of language that I think is actually that's really tangible and interesting. Well, you're making me think already. What are you doing, Teresa? It's crazy. So tell us a little, let's go a little bit deeper right off the bat in what we talked to, like the closing kind of thing we talked about on in pre-show, you know, around scarcity. Oh, I love that word. Mm-hmm. Just kind of take us in that, because I think that was actually, I think that gets us right into a pretty significant conversation right off the bat.
Well, I think a good litmus test for recognition is your recognition program living in the 80s, where we had employee of the month, employee of the quarter, employee of the year, where you've got a limited amount of recognition and the people who get the awards are the winners and everybody else are losers. And what I would like to do is throw a wider net in the world of recognition and instead build a culture of appreciation and engagement, because you can't really talk about employee appreciation and not talk about engaging people, because one of the ways that you engage people is letting them know how their positive behaviors exemplify your core values, and that's what engages people, is when they can look on that wall or poster on their website, see a core value and say, hey, I've been recognized for integrity, or I've been recognized for teamwork. And I'm not talking about they've been given a crystal award or whatever. You know, I saw a statistic, it was somewhere around 72% of employees feel like they're not appreciated at work. And, you know, if you look at the Gallup organization, the Gallup Q12, one of the questions they ask is, in the last 7 days, have you been recognized or shown appreciation for doing great work? It doesn't say, did you get a gold watch? Does it say did you get a $500 bonus? You know, did you get employee of the month? It's, did someone notice out loud that you did a great job? And I think that companies that do well in this area, and ironically, a lot of companies that have just recently been named best places to work, like REI, Nordstrom, you know, Perkins Coie, I happen to be naming all the ones in Washington, but, you know, Microsoft, they have a philosophy around recognition. Oh, and also the Everett Clinic has just got their third year in a row, that they really focus more on the day-to-day appreciation. And it's not just managers recognizing employees, but it's about making recognition tools and appreciation tools available to everyone, making them accessible to everyone. So if you see someone doing something right, you can go and get a card and write it out and give it to that person, or you can send them a quick note online and tie it back to the core value. If you, you know, notice that someone took extra time with a patient, or wayfinding is a big thing in hospitals. So people who kind of help show the way and are hospitable, and you can recognize in the moment on the spot, and it doesn't have to be about the stuff, because I think organizations get way too caught up in the stuff when they think about recognition. And managers, I think, are kind of stymied by this, that they feel that, oh, well, you know, our recognition program only gives us this amount of a budget every month to show recognition, or, you know, we have these certain cards with our values on them and we're supposed to give a certain amount. Well, I think the most important thing is to individualize your approach and to ask the person how they like to be recognized. Just that in and of itself is a form of appreciation, because some people love public recognition, others prefer to have their recognition in private. They're shy. And we make the assumption that everybody wants public recognition at a staff meeting. And so anyway, I'm just, you know, I'm all about creating more opportunities to say thank you in the workplace and make it easy, make it accessible. It doesn't even have to cost anything. Just do it.
Well, and Teresa, this is Brian. You know, relative to my recognition, I want a frickin' billboard. Newsletter, a billboard, I want to just absolutely be the center of attention. That hits me awesome on my appreciation
mm-hmm.
level.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying. William, what about you? I'm just curious.
Yeah, my question is more or less around the assumptions that people can recognize great work or a great job. In the recognition business, I think it is one of the fails. There's many, but one of the fails is that it assumes that people know and can discern what a great job is, or what great work is, and that it's wrought with a lot of subjective kind of behaviors. And I've also seen it to where it kind of devolves that we start recognizing good work or adequate work, or hell, you just showed up, and that's, we're thankful for that, and thus we will appreciate and recognize that. How do you consult? How do you make sure, or do you even care about how do we keep the waterline between good work and great work?
That's a great question. I think what's really important is to let people know ahead of time what the criteria is for earning recognition, whether it's an on-the-spot appreciation card or, you know, a lot of companies do the the online platforms where you earn badges and points and stars, and I've seen demos of those, and those are great. But I think that what's important is to let people know what's expected of them, and then when they meet or exceed those expectations, to, you know, a simple thank you is good enough for a good job, but if someone goes above and beyond the call of duty, that's when you want to make kind of a big deal out of it, because people leave organizations when they don't feel appreciated, and that information comes forward or comes out a lot in stay interviews. So many times we do exit interviews, you know, why are you leaving? And a lot of times people say, oh, more money or more opportunity. And a lot of people don't want to burn their bridges and say really why they're leaving, because they want to use you as a reference in the future. And so I really recommend doing the stay interview. And there's been a lot of discussion on LinkedIn about this, and it's not my idea. It's Beverly Kay and Sharon Jordan Evans from the book Love 'Em or Lose 'Em. Because in stay interviews, there's still the opportunity to keep the person. You know, what makes you stay? What would lure you away? What kind of work would you like to do more of? What motivates you? How do you like to be recognized? And I really encourage managers to do this in the off-season of performance evaluations. This is a totally separate conversation. This is all about the employee. And so getting back to your question about, you know, good work versus great work, you know, I think people want to feel acknowledged. And some companies wait for that pie in the sky stellar performance before they say thank you, and they don't always just recognize progress. They wait for perfection. And in, you know, my whole philosophy, and when I do my recognize the moment training, my leadership training, or my keynotes, you know, I talk a lot about recognize all the little steps in between. I'm not saying you have to give them a gold star, but just notice, because to me, appreciation starts with awareness. Awareness of the things that are happening around you, and then recognition is simply noticing out loud with a positive comment, a handwritten note, an email, preferably a handwritten note because that's tangible, or, you know, a congratulations, you are an employee of the moment card, which I happen to sell, you know, in my toolkit. But, you know, just it's the little things that add up that make people want to stay. It's not getting the Employee of the Year award. Plus, if you do all those little things throughout the year, when you do have your big formal award ceremony at the end of the year, more people are going to want to come to the party because they've been thanked all year long, you know. And so it goes back to that scarcity mentality versus the abundance mentality, where there's just a limited amount of recognition instead of recognition is accessible to everyone, and it's up to everyone to create that positive work culture. It's not just up to HR. HR plays more of a supportive role and less of a starring role in your recognition strategy. And I'm quoting Rochelle Crawlard, who's the HR director of the Everett Clinic, also, you know, one of the best places to work, Fortune magazine. And they, you know, they do everything ranging from the day-to-day appreciation to more formal awards. But they do everything in between, too. So, and they've realized it's up to everyone to notice out loud.
Teresa, I want to give you a real example from a chapter in my past that happened that I thought was fascinating. It kind of dovetails into kind of like high-performing teams with potentially the kind of the rest of the company culture. And I want to hear kind of how you would navigate that if you walked in after that had happened to kind of get people back on board with appreciation and especially your high performers, right? Because I think this happens, unfortunately, more frequently than not. So you have one team in a company, for example, that just is significantly higher performers than the rest of the organization. And so they consistently, the month after month in place that's awarding recognition, great performance, they win it month after month after month. And then all of a sudden, leadership decides, well, we think it's now a demotivator to everybody because nobody else wins. And they take it away. So it goes away. So now the rest of the company is like, oh, okay, good, or that's weird or whatever. But the high performance team is like, you know, This is like complete asshole, right? You literally, you're taking away the award that at least every month it's like, okay, cool. You know, we nailed it again, and it's important to keep that award, right? So you come into that, say, consulting, or you come in as the chief appreciation officer, how do you fix that little scar on performance now?
Well, it sounds like the philosophy that's in place is it's kind of an all-or-nothing sort of situation, that they were taking away the award, or they weren't going to do it anymore in the future because it made everyone else feel bad?
Yep, 100%.
Okay.
True story,
well,
by the way.
I believe that this happens in organizations a lot of times. They don't want to recognize because they're afraid of how it's going to make everybody else who didn't get an award feel. And number one, I have an issue with the term, you know, well, high potential or high performer. I believe hypo, lopo, and then repo are sort of my three. You know, you've got your high potentials, which I think I hate to use the word hate, but I just do not like that term, because I think everyone has potential if they're matched up with the right job. And then you have your low performers, which are like 17%, you know, according to the Gallup organization. Your people who are actively disengaged, unhappy, spreading their discontent, cave dwellers, citizens against everything, that'll never work. And where managers spending all their time trying to fix the people who are the low performers, or they're spending all their time recognizing and praising and giving more assignments to the people who are the high performers, who they know are going to get it done. But what about all the people in the middle? Maybe they don't have an opportunity to shine. They don't work on sexy projects, but they're your day-to-day consistent performers. And they're coming in, day out, you know, doing their job. And without them, things would fall apart. So with this particular organization, with this team deciding just to throw the baby out with the bathwater because this one team got recognition, everybody else felt bad, it sounds like they don't have a culture of appreciation. What they have is just a recognition program. And a program has a beginning and an end. And a recognition strategy is dynamic. It's ongoing. It changes over time. And it's four-dimensional. And I wish I had a visual for you, but when we talk about recognition in the workshop, it's based on a four-dimensional model, with the formal recognition being at the top. That's what we're most familiar with. It's traditional. It's been around the longest. You nominate someone, a few people are selected, and then they're recognized in front of their peers in a public setting. They get cash awards or gift cards or trophies or what have you. It's an important piece of your recognition strategy because you want to single out the people who serve as role models for others in the organization, but then you want to push it further down into the organization. So at the informal level, that middle level, that's happening at the team level, where recognition is recognizing progress towards goals, like I had mentioned before, when you hit your milestones, celebrating, you know, getting a question mark and getting a sheet cake or getting angel food cake and fruit if you want to, you know, do something healthier. And then just bring your team together and say, what's worth celebrating? What have we been doing right? And let employees open up and open the door up to peer-to-peer recognition. But the most important piece of your recognition strategy, not program, but strategy, and this is where it becomes organic in each team, is that day-to-day appreciation. What does recognition look like on our team? What ideas do you have for appreciation within our team? You know, what are some of the other things that you've heard that other organizations have done or other places you've worked and how they've celebrated success? You know, what's meaningful to you? And then doing what I call tell us about you forms, where people get to fill out how they like to be appreciated. So it's a great onboarding tool. A lot of companies already do that. And they ask employees, you know, what are your favorite hobbies or interests? If you had $25, where would you spend it? What's your favorite restaurant? So when it comes time to recognize that person, they've done something above and beyond, you can give them something that's meaningful. You know, you're not just giving them a $25 Visa. You've taken the time to go out and get them a gift certificate at their favorite restaurant, or a gift card at, you know, they're a golfer, so you're going to give them a gift card to a golfing place so they can, you know, or time off. You know, giving people their time back is huge too, work-life balance. So we've got the formal, the informal, and the day-to-day, and then the iceberg layer, that fourth layer, is sort of underneath it all is that culture of acknowledgement, trust, and respect, and that common courtesy. Just even greeting people, saying good morning, using their name, making eye contact, smiling sends a message that I'm glad you're here. And we all live in this world of technology with our Blackberries. We come straight into work. We don't talk to anybody. We check our email. And then, you know, we resurface later at our meeting that we have to show up at. But it's a lost art, just greeting people and saying hello. Just that sometimes we've lost those basics. And if the only thing you have is this formal recognition program where teams or individuals are being recognized for going above and beyond, and there's nothing else happening in the organization, of course you're going to have this dissension, and people aren't going to feel, they're going to say, well, you know, I worked just as hard as these guys, and I didn't get recognized. There was a company, a manufacturing company that I've been working with, and they've grown from 15 employees to well over 120 now, and it used to be enough where the CEO could go around and shake hands and thank people specifically for doing a great job, and when they'd have their, you know, all-hands meetings, you know, he could single out and recognize people for doing a great job. But when they got to be over 100, he was still doing the same thing, singling people out, and after the meeting, people would be grumbling, well, I worked just as hard as he did, or she'd say, you know, I did this, I didn't get recognized. And so they realized they needed to have something in place for everyone to notice out loud. So they created this board called Change the Conversation, because they noticed there was a lot of negative talk out on the shop floor. And so it was their just a little talk bubble card with their core values on it, and it was a way for people to recognize one another. And then once a month they'd have a drawing for both the person being recognized and the person who took the time to write it out, because you got to recognize them, you got to reinforce that behavior, and it's been a huge hit. But then you need to change it up. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over again. So they're moving on to their next level of recognition. You know, okay, nice. So we've done this for a while. Now we need to change it up, because everything old is new again. So
sure. Let me ask, first of all, fantastic discussion. Thank you for dropping a lot of knowledge on our audience. How does a company scale highly personalized engagement or appreciation or recognition, however you want to phrase it? But the gist of it is, everything's great if you have a 50-person firm and you can do all the things that you just mentioned. What if you have 1,500, 2,000, 15,000, et cetera? How do you scale highly personalized?
Well, again, it goes back to the strategy. It's not a program, it's a strategy. And there's eight elements to a successful strategy, and it starts with viewing as a recognition as a four-dimensional model, just like I mentioned, aligning it with your core values. Everything needs to come back to the core values, whether it's formal recognition or day-to-day. It serves as a communication tool to let people know what's important to the organization. You need to have management commitment, not just buy-in, but commitment and participation. There needs to be training. I mean, so many managers are promoted for their technical skills or their knowledge of the organization, but they don't have the people skills to manage. And then also involving employees in designing your strategy. So identifying across a cross representation of your organization, a diagonal slice, brand new people who've been there, people from different departments, people from different levels, so that people are involved in designing your recognition strategy, so it's not coming from HR or from manager, like, oh, they're rolling out this new program, I wonder what it's going to be. People see their fingerprints all over it. They've been involved, and it's considered a coup, or it's considered a form of recognition to be invited to be part of this group. And then measuring your results. So not just doing recognition willy-nilly, but what's the return on investment? You create a baseline for employee engagement, employee retention, the number of nominations that are received, both the day-to-day and the formal, and then 6 months from now you measure it again. Has it had an impact on employee engagement, employee morale, employee retention? And you think of it as a business strategy to position your organization as a best place to work. You don't just think of it as a nice thing to do. It's a strategic business imperative. And then the last piece is communication and sustainability, which goes back to my comment about everything old is new again. So you revisit those eight elements over and over again to make sure that you keep the zing and recognizing.
What's the best way to engage, appreciate, or recognize salespeople?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't deal with sales a lot. I think that there still needs to be a conversation about behaviors versus results for everyone in the organization. Now, for salespeople, they're going to be measured by their sales, their results. But I think that folks who are non-salespeople sometimes get left out of the picture and maybe don't get as much recognition because they're not in the, you know, they're not out there selling the product. And so I think there needs to be a more balanced approach to recognition. But for salespeople, you know, I think it needs to be, it still needs to be about the behaviors, and it still needs to be tied to the core values. Are they getting a lot of sales and trampling over people? Are they still demonstrating integrity and clear communication? And are they team players? Are they passing along the credit where credit's due, you know, in terms of getting that sale? So, you know, I think it needs to be a more balanced approach than it is.
Well, Teresa, we've got about 3.5 minutes, and I'm going to good answer to that question. I'm gonna go a little bit deeper down that direction and see what you have to say. So, what if we change the appreciation model for the HR role to map more like a sales role, like, you know, literally that it's more very very objective, you know, based on performance, you know, and literally based on how many people you get in the door, and just totally take away any subjective and just do a mm-hmm. classic sales model. What do you think about that?
I think that's a great model, because when you are selling this to management, you're not selling it as this isn't just about employees. This is about customers. You know, look at Southwest Airlines. Employees come first, and then it's about your customers. Because there's that relationship between treating your employees well, and then they treat the customers well. So when you're selling the whole model of employee appreciation to senior leaders and trying to get their buy-in to whether spend time, money, energy on it, it's about positioning your organization as the best place to work. And best places to work have people knocking on their doors. They have a larger pool of talent to draw from in terms of candidates who want to work there. They have the logo, you know, on their website, on their front door at Starbucks. You know, this is a great place to work, and they have to live up to it. They have to live up to those standards. And so when we are selling this to management, I think you sell it as a way to position your organization to become an employer of choice, to become a great place to work. And the data shows, you know, organizations that are, Fortune magazine, the organizations that are the best places to work have 30 to 40% more profitability than organizations that aren't. I mean, do you want to be on the worst place to work list? You know, what are people saying about your organization on Glassdoor? What are, yeah.
No, that's absolutely, in fact, a great way to end. We're just about out of time. Where can people connect with you the best?
They can follow me on Facebook, Recognition Works. I have just started a page there. I'm on LinkedIn. And also recognitionworks.net is my website. Both in the Seattle and the Portland area, I have recognition roundtables where we meet, up in Seattle area, we meet almost every month. And then in the Portland area, we meet 5 times a year if you want to meet face-to-face and have these discussions. So there's lots of ways to stay connected.
Well, that is perfect. Teresa, thank you so much for coming to lunch with us at Drive-Thru HR. folks. Have an amazing Monday. We are out of here. Thanks, Teresa. Thanks, William.
Thanks for having me.